Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Hey, that is the sound of rock cracking. Once again, you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on webtalkradio.net. Glad to have you. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. You're listening to us, like I said, on webtalkradio.net. And we are counting down the days. We are just a week and days away from November 6th, the election determining what direction this nation is going to go. Could be the most important elections in our lifetime, most important midterm election in our lifetime. Why? Well, I'll tell you on the second half of this show, but those who have been listening to Doc Holliday for several years know what I mean when I say the 70-year itch. And I'll tell you about that. But since the Constitution has been signed in 1788, we've about every 70 years, there's a major political upheaval and turnaround in our country. I'm going to talk about in the second half of the show, but we're going to talk about these midterm elections coming next week, just days away. The jobs are up, unemployment is down. Let's put that in a little jingle here. Jobs are up, unemployment is down. Peace and prosperity is where this Trump train is bound. The Democrats seek to tear down and derail. Go vote Republicans so prosperity will prevail. How about that? Well. We have an election coming up, and Nancy Pelosi is already, she's measuring for the drapes, being Speaker of the House, and the Democrats think it's a slam dunk. Nancy Pelosi went on the air just last week and said if the elections were held today, she would be the new Speaker of the House. Will it happen? Will that, just that threat by Nancy Pelosi being Speaker of the House again, will that cause Republicans to rush to the voting booth? Those who thought, oh, well, I'm not going to get out and vote. Then they look at Nancy Pelosi and think, oh, I remember what she said. We have to vote for this legislation so we'll know what's in it. A crazy kind of leadership and government. Vote for this bill so we can know what's in it. That's crazy. But that's Nancy Pelosi. And we had to deal with her. And we're still the percussions of the ramifications of what her being Speaker of the House did. We're still paying with outrageous premiums for medical insurance. And just on and on it goes. And Donald Trump is trying his best to roll that back with some Republican help. And they've done a marvelous job. Because when I say jobs are up, unemployment is down, it's not just from just sitting around and living on what Barack Obama did for the economy. No, it means getting rid of regulations, passing tax cuts, getting this economy moving again. I mean moving. Let's burn on all cylinders. And that's what Donald Trump's working to do with some Republican help. And the Democrats just seek to derail the Trump train. They want it off the tracks. And if they can't get it off the tracks, they're going to slow it down. And that's where all the gurus or pundits, the same ones who predicted that Hillary Clinton was going to be president of the United States in 2016, they're saying the Democrats have got almost a lock on winning the House. Do they? Well, we're going to talk about that. Before we do, I got to mention last week's pipe bomber was arrested, alleged pipe bomber, and President Trump had this to say. Let's talk about that right here, and then we'll move on with the midterm election, what's going on and looking at the House and the Senate. But take a listen to President Trump after they arrested a man in Florida last week.
I am pleased to inform you that law enforcement has apprehended the suspect and taken him into custody. It's an incredible job by law enforcement. We've carried out a far-reaching federal, state, and local investigation to find the person or persons responsible for these events. These terrorizing acts are despicable and have no place in our country. No place. I've instructed authorities to spare no resource or expense in finding those responsible and bringing them to swift and certain justice. And we will prosecute them, him, her, whoever it may be, to the fullest extent of the law. We must never allow political violence to take root in America. Cannot let it happen. And I'm committed to doing everything in my power as president to stop it. And to stop it now. Stop it now. But a bottom line is that Americans must unify. And we must show the world that we are united together in peace and love and harmony as fellow American citizens. There is no country like our country. And every day we are showing the world just how truly great we are.
Now, that was President Trump as he spoke. It was already pre-planned. He's at a black, young black leadership conference there at the White House. He had a lot of black, young black leaders in. And they were very, very fired up to see the President of the United States. And he got to deliver that message about arresting the alleged pipe bomber who'd sent so many of these pipe bombs through the mail. They evidently weren't good, well-made pipe bombs, thank goodness. And they have shown that the pipe, alleged pipe bomber from Florida had lived in New York, but he had a criminal history, and he seemed to be a Trump supporter. Not all the information and investigation must go on. But I will say here, any kind of violence, physical, any kind of hurtful violence to anyone in politics is an absurdity. It does not need to be anywhere in America. We should be able to debate and talk, and freedom of speech must be respected by all sides. But no one should in any way condone physical violence. And this is what has made America great, that we can have free speech, express our opinions, and we don't win every election. That's why there was a Tea Party movement. That's why a lot of people who did not like Barack Obama's policies, including me on many things, but yet you respect the presidency, you respect the Senate and the House leaders. People are elected. We are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, supposed to be as much as we can, because human beings are not perfect. There's only been one perfect human being, and they put him on a cross. And so I'm just telling you that we here in America have a unique situation given to us by our forefathers, or those who helped found this nation, and we stand on that today, and we need to be able to debate and not have to worry about gunshots, bombs, knives, fights. It should not happen anywhere in America. Let's go for free speech, freedom of expression, and let's respect anyone with their opinion. Doesn't mean you have to share it, but you can respect hearing it. Not I'm not going to listen to anybody go on for hours and hours, but hear their opinion, yes. Now, and I do hope President Trump will, the federal government will punish the perpetrator if he's found guilty to the fullest extent of the law, because this should be, make sure everybody understands, you will pay a price if you try to terrorize this nation. Now, we got to get into this midterm elections coming up. What is going on? Well, we just have to look right into the House. The Senate, as far as the Republicans go, they have 51 to 49. Really, it's 51 to 47, two independents, but they both caucus with the Democrats. So it's like 51-49 in the Senate. And that you look at those numbers and think, oh my goodness, two takeovers, and the Senate will be in the hands of the Democrats and Chuck Schumer and all the judges that would never get through what Donald Trump wanted. But the good news is the United States Senate, in this election cycle, there's many more Democrats, and we've talked about that before, who are having to defend their seats, several in states that Donald Trump won handedly. Therefore, the Senate right now looks like, if people get out and vote, that the Republicans can maintain that advantage, and there's a good chance, if people get out and vote, that several Democratic seats could actually turn Republican. But now the gurus are saying in the House it's a different story. And I guess, let me play this clip of Newt Gingrich on Fox and Friends. It goes 2 or 3 minutes, but it sets us up what we're looking for. He sets it up very well. So take a listen to this clip from Fox and Friends of Newt Gingrich.
The midterms and a new poll finds the Democrats up by 11 in the so-called generic congressional ballot.
But President Trump singing a different tune, tweeting moments ago, quote, "The crowds at my rallies are far bigger than they were ever before, including the 2016 election. Never an empty seat in these large venues. Many thousands of people watching screens inside. Enthusiasm and spirit is through the roof. Something big is happening. Watch." Here to weigh in, Fox News contributor, former Speaker of the House, and author of Trump's America, Newt Gingrich. Newt, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So,
how are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. So the president just tweeted, "Something big is happening. Watch." What's he talking about?
Well, I don't know. I was just in Seattle and Dallas. I'm now in Des Moines. My sense is that the Kavanaugh fight galvanized conservatives and independents. Reminded them how radical and how dishonest the Democrats are, and also reminded the country that politics in the end is a team sport. Mm-hmm. That if a candidate like Bredesen in Tennessee is going to vote for Schumer, he's functionally a liberal. If Sinema in Arizona is going to vote for Schumer, she's functionally a liberal. And it's stripped away. This is why Heidkamp, the senator in North Dakota, suddenly was 12 or 14 points behind, because people looked up and said, oh, I get it. There are two teams. There's this radical left team, and then there are people who want conservative judges. Well, North Dakota went 16 out of the last 17 elections for the Republican presidential candidate. Guess which kind of judge they won? So the Kavanaugh thing, I think, was very galvanizing.
And stop right here and say, see how Newt was showing how the Kavanaugh effect, it's really having an effect all around the country. And it has brought Republicans together. And when we say that, there's always been some of these never-Trumpers, part of the Republican Party, that could not stand Donald Trump. And yet, it's been so fractured since Donald Trump won. Most Republicans have come on board, not all. But this Kavanaugh effect, everybody, even if you remember, George W. Bush was calling Senator Collins because Collins wasn't really a big fan of Donald Trump. But George W. Bush called in behalf of Judge Kavanaugh. And see, these are things that brought the Republican Party together that has been fractured since the election of Donald Trump. And yet, people, the news, if you follow news, they want to say, well, stay away from Donald Trump in these suburban districts. But when you look at the crowds, yes, they're coming from rural. They're coming from smaller towns. But they're filling up these places. You can't tell me, when you look on the faces at the people at the Trump rally. And I told you, we had a show about it just a few weeks ago. And you go back and listen to that show. I went to the Trump rally in South Haven, Mississippi. And there's genuinely people who said, thank you, Donald Trump, for speaking for me, speaking up for the forgotten man, the forgotten woman, those who have been working blue-collar jobs. They are looking up to this president. They are supporting him. And the question is, will they get out and vote for a Republican when Donald Trump tells them to? Are they going to stay at home? And that's what Donald Trump's saying. They're coming to rallies. He believes he can get them out to vote. Will he? We're going to find out. But let's Newt had some good points about the Kavanaugh effect. Let's continue to listen to what Newt had to say.
But I just want to make a point to everybody who's watching, because it is so absurd. The Washington Post poll, let's discuss Hillary Clinton's second year as president, okay? Because that poll told us she was going to be president.
Mm-hmm.
The 538 people election morning said the odds are 71% that Hillary Clinton is going to be president. Charlie Cook said the Republicans are going to lose 5 to 7 seats in the Senate and lose control of the Senate. These people were all wrong. I mean, I don't know how to say it clearer than that. The very same people who were wrong are wrong. I don't know yet what's going to happen in the House. I think it's a hard-fought fight. In the Senate, I believe we will keep the Senate. We will gain seats in the Senate. Senator McConnell has done an amazing job with judges and an amazing job of recruiting and fundraising. And I think the Senate, basically, in terms of control, is over. Schumer will be the minority leader. McConnell will be the majority leader. You can argue over whether we're going to pick up 3 seats or 2 seats or 5 seats, but we're going to keep the Senate. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that'll
be
big.
The House is huge.
Because around Labor Day, Senate was in jeopardy. But 5:30, that's what they said on Labor Day, but things have changed. But 5:38, and you kind of nixed their credibility, but they have had some impressive showings in the past. 5:38 says 80% chance Republicans hold the Senate, 80% chance they lose the House.
Yeah, I think that 80% is too high. I think there's a possibility the Democrats will win the House. But I can tell you, I'm talking to people in Washington State, I think we're going to win the 3 critical races there.
Let me jump in here and interrupt Newt one more time to say, did you hear him say that he didn't think it's an 80% chance that the House would go to the Democrats? He said he thought it's more even and not that high. So I just have to say it's an amazing fact that there's something going on in the country, and Newt sees it when he says he thinks they're going to win the 3 seats in Washington State. Now, you know, that's a liberal country. It's hard to win. It's hard to win in Washington State as a Republican. But that is big news. Let's let Newt finish up, and then we'll jump in here and talk about some races around the country going on in the House.
I'm talking to people in Texas yesterday. It's very clear that the Beto O'Rourke mythology is disappearing. He's becoming, as Ted Cruz said the other day, Comrade Beto. And it's clear that Texas is once again going to be a very, very Republican state. Here, I think the governor had a wonderful debate the other day. She clearly is proving that she's the right person. And the polling here indicates that we're beginning to pull ahead in Iowa. So I think it'll be very hard fought. I think the Republicans will lose seats in the House. I'm not convinced that they will lose the House. And Kevin McCarthy, the majority leader's new proposal to actually fund the border, give us security from MS-13, give us security from fentanyl, and the commitment to vote on that in December, I think brings up the issue the Democrats are most afraid of. They are for open borders. They're for sanctuary cities. They're for abolishing ICE. Those are all tremendously unpopular issues. And if that's what this has fought over the last 3 weeks, I think they may well lose any effort, any opportunity to take control of the House.
That's why Democrats are telling.
Well, I think Newt just really summed up some enthusiasm going on in Republicans. And the thing that he didn't talk about is the amount of money being poured into the Democrat coffers by these billionaires like Tom Steyer and others who have really poured it in. I mean, they were saying Beto O'Rourke is running for U.S. Senate in Texas against Senator Ted Cruz. He has raised, this is astounding, in a Senate race. It's the most expensive Senate race in the history of the United States elections, and it's going over a $100 million by both sides. But Beto has raised over $70 million in this Senate election in Texas. He's outspending Ted Cruz 2-1, more than 2-1, and yet Cruz is winning in the polling so far. And if he wins that election, just think about the money that's been poured in to try to defeat Ted Cruz. Now, part of that, I think there's so many people, and I mentioned before on the show that Beto O'Rourke, they want him to be the new John Kennedy. They want him to run in 2020 because they think his young youth good looks and being able to skateboard on at events may win the presidency over Donald Trump. I don't know. He's not being able to beat Ted Cruz. Not so far. Election's next week. We will see. But can you, $70 million, these billionaires and that are funding the Democrats are pouring the money in. They want to defeat Donald Trump. The blue-collar billionaire, Donald Trump, is being opposed by the billionaires in the Democratic Party who are pouring the money in. And they're pouring it into the House races. Let me stop right here and remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. And you can check out my book called Bedrock Truths. I wrote that book with Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Alex McFarland. You can go to my webpage, www.docholliday, that's holiday of two L's, .org, docholliday.org. And you can order the book there. I know we got a lot of new listeners. We always do during the election time, right before the election. So check out the website and order yourself a book. Hey, Christmas coming up soon. Go and get your Christmas gifts checked off by ordering Bedrock Truth by Dr. Ed Holliday and Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Alex McFarland. Some more books there on the website. We'd love for you to get those conservative books there and just order those and get one for your friends and neighbors and get your Christmas gifts right there. Now, let's get back to what we're looking at in the elections, because there are several districts. When you look at it, it's, if you're a Republican, it's very scary to look at what's going on in the House of Representatives, because what made this election cycle, two things made it unusual. Usually, whenever the presidential side wins, the other opposing party always picks up a lot of seats in the midterm elections. So history is against the House members. And then the other thing is the Republicans force, after 6 years, retirement of not retirement, they just tell you have to move off the committee. They that way you get new and better ideas brought in, and it keeps refreshing, and you don't get somebody sitting on committee for 20 and 30 years, unlike the Democrats. So therefore, a lot of the chairmen of some committees, they were rolling out, and they thought it was a good time to retire. So there's a lot of open seats that were Republican. And therefore, there's not an incumbent trying to, that already has name recognition. So it's very tough for Republicans, and that's why the Democrats feel like they are going to win the House. But you heard Donald Trump say, and they're getting enthusiasm. And Donald Trump, to his credit, is moving and grooving, and he's in his 70s. But he is strong on the campaign trail, and he's going to places that the White House knows they need to win in order to maintain a Republican House majority. It will be tough, but it can be done. When you look at some of these races, there are so many toss-ups. So it does, it boils down to who is going to get out and vote. And one of the things that, well, let's just go over some of the districts. There's a district in Illinois, down in the southern part of Illinois, that is, Illinois 6, 6th district down there, incumbent Republican. He's running against a newcomer trying to knock him out. And this is usually a reliable Republican district. If the Trump voters come back out to vote, then he'll keep that. But it's not just him there. There's several. There's in North Carolina, there's some more that are up, you know, that are toss-ups. If the Republicans come out to vote, these incumbents win. But there's so many are up that are Republican that the Democrats just are counting on winning a large percentage of those to get. They need, I think it's 23 seats to switch it around and have a majority. And it seems like so many of these seats that are in Republican hands are down in the poll some, like there's in New Jersey, I believe the 11th district, New Jersey, Republican in charge, but the polls show him down. There's also the 11th district of Michigan. Now that's one of those open seats where it should go to the Republican if the Republicans won it, but the polling showing it the Democrat ahead, and it's a toss-up. So will the Republicans get out the vote? That is the very, very question that we won't know to November 6th. So they are two Democratic seats that have become toss-ups that are, there's one in the 1st District of Minnesota, it's an open seat, and there's also one in the 3rd District of Nevada, open seat. And these are the things that if the Republicans could find some Democratic seats, and that's what they're looking for, to turn around, it'll sort of stop the bleeding from the seats so many are open. So, but most of the open seats are where Republicans have retired or retiring from Congress. So it puts the Republicans much more vulnerable. But what Donald Trump's trying to do, his approval numbers are on the rise. He's trying to get everything to peak with full momentum, and everybody that voted for him for the presidential election, which is over 63 million people, if they would all come out in the midterms, it would be a red wave. But can you get that many people come out in the midterms? We will see. The Democrats in the past have had trouble getting their voters back out in the midterm, but they seem to be fired up. So it could be a blue wave if the Republicans stay home. But if they come out, could it be a red wave? Well, I'm not saying it's not impossible. When you go to the Trump rallies and see everybody so fired up, will that get people fired up to the ballot box? That's what we're going to see next week. But looking at some of those races in California, again, there's a lot of Republican seats. That it's such a Democratic state, but they have Republican districts, and they are being challenged, and money is pouring into those races, that's pouring in from the Democratic billionaires. So that's what's at stake. What do we watch for Tuesday night? Well, you know, the polls close in the Eastern time zone, and then Central. We move across to California, and what the Democrats are wanting to see a lot of these seats fall, and they could just, they are counting on several seats to switch in California. And if they fall the right way, they'll say we'll slam dunk it in California, and that's what we'll just have to wait and see. If the East is looking bad for the Republicans, they'll be in for a long night. If they can hold on in the East, then the Democrats will be biting their fingernails, say they'll get enough. But they're counting on the California seats to switch from Republican to Democrat. So watch California. If it comes down to the wire, California, the late night, will be in the play because they're the last polls to close on the continental United States. Again, you heard Newt talk about the Senate. I think in the Senate, we're watching how many pickups the Republicans can get. Again, if there's a big wave, there could be several pickups, which will be very important because in 2020, there are going to be more Republican seats up than they are this time for sure. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But very important. It's time to get out and vote. And as we go over these things, I said I was going to talk about the 70-year itch. This is the thing that combines with Donald Trump. Maybe he is the monumental force. But every 70 years since 1788, when the United States Constitution was signed, huge, monumental, colossal political turnarounds have happened. The first 70-year itch was the American Civil War. And the Democrats were fully, firmly in charge, and there was a splintered opposition. The Whig Party was failing. Then the Republican Party came along. And if Abraham Lincoln is still a very fledgling party, it wasn't strong, but he, He won the nomination, and because of the splintered chaos in the divided country, he won the presidential election of 1860. So the Civil War was that first 70-year itch. When I say 70 years, it's not on the exact year of 70, but it's always generally around there. And from the end of that event, it ended in 1865, and Republicans were firmly in control. And it switched the whole country. Slavery was out. Thank goodness, slavery was out. And it took a heavy, heavy toll on America. And yet it reshaped it in a mighty way. 70 years from the Civil War, where were we? Where were we? The Great Depression. And then World War II. That was the second 70-year itch. And, hey, since the Constitution is just a little over 200 years old, that third 70-year itch, it's been 75 years now. Since the end of World War II, it's just been about 73, but we're going on, and we could be in this third 70-year itch. And Donald Trump could be like the It would be like the yeast in bread, where something was the all the elements were there, but they needed something big, bold, and destructive to sort of tear up the past and bring us into the future. Is Donald Trump that being, that yeast, to be the 70-year itch? It could be. There's a rearranging of politics. And if that is, then there's something more. When Donald Trump says, watch what's going on, when people go to Trump rallies, there's something more that could be in this midterm election. And we won't know till next week, but watch for it. And the most important thing you can do for freedom, for liberty, as an American citizen right now, is to get out and vote. Some of you already voted because of early voting in your state. If you haven't and you can, go vote. And get your friends and neighbors out to vote. Make sure they're ready to go out and vote November 6th on Tuesday. If they don't have a ride, make sure they get a ride to vote. Yeah, check with Uber. I heard the Uber's helping give out rides to voting booths. So make sure those who are going to vote to help keep this Trump train on the tracks need to get out and vote. I don't care if you don't really like your Republican candidate. I don't care if they're incumbent and you've made some votes you don't like. It's so important. When I said a 70-year itch, this could be monumental in the history of America, the most important midterm in our life, if we're going to keep moving in the direction of more liberty, more freedom, like we've talked about on the show. The journey toward prosperity and peace is moving in the right direction. To keep it going, vote Republican. Wherever you are, we need Republican votes. And get people out to vote. If they said, oh, I just can't stand it, I can't vote for that person, tell them to hold their nose and vote, because the direction of our country depends on it. Vote Republican. Keep the Trump train going. Remember, jobs are up, unemployment is down. And where this Trump train is bound is peace and prosperity. Don't let the Democrats derail it. Vote Republican. Vote Republican. Get out and vote. And I'll see you next week as we close out our show on the week of the election. Talk to you then.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.